Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Live on Aero, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Good evening and welcome. Nice to have your company for another edition of the Irish programme Live on Era. I do hope I find you well. I know that you haven't been travelling far in the last week, so I hope that all is well in your home and with your family. I hope that you've had yourselves a lovely Easter, that the Easter Bunny was able to travel. I know they got special dispensation in Ireland. I think the same would have applied in Spain. So I hope that everybody had a great Easter Sunday. Strange one. I don't think we'll ever forget it. We have a lovely programme lined up for you this evening, I think. I've got three fabulous guests. And you know something, it might seem like it's a programme of tributes, and it is in one sense, and I don't want it to be a sad event. It's not going to be, because there's plenty of nice, happy things in there. But I'll be talking to PJ Curtis. I've mentioned PJ's name a number of times on the programme. Delighted that he's going to join me this evening to talk to me about the passing of a lady that he knew quite well, a lady by the name of Mary McPartlin, who was really hugely involved in all aspects of the arts in Ireland. PJ was the producer of her first album back in 2003 or 2004. And he's going to talk to us about his friend Mary McPartlin, who passed away last Monday. David Sanders and Tom Cusson from Shaskeen, the Cayley band. Yeah, well, not even just a Cayley band, the band Shaskeen will be joining me as well. Last week, you know, I paid tribute to our good pal, Pat Costello. And Pat was actually a member of Shaskeen, so he will be mentioned again today, as will the late Pat Broderick. But the reason I'm talking to David and Tom is because Tom was actually the man that started Shaskeen back 50 years ago in London, and David Sanders is the new blood, and I know both of the lads, David more so than Tom, and I wanted to talk to them about their brand new album, which goes on release on Friday the 17th of April. I've had a chance to listen to it. It's a double CD, and it does feature the late Pat Broderick and Pat Costello. And we have the number one song in Ireland on this very day back in 1972. Let's start with the birthdays today then, shall we? The 13th of April, Liam Cosgrove, who was Taoiseach of Ireland from 1973 to 1977, was born on this day back in 1920. Samuel Beckett, poet, playwright, novelist, short story writer, was born in Dublin in 1906. Seamus Heaney, the poet, was born in Northern Ireland in 1939. And John Joe O'Neill, the jockey, was born in County Cork in 1952. Tomorrow is the 14th, and Ted Walsh, the jockey and trainer, was born in Fermoy in County Cork in 1950. Wednesday, the 15th of April, Owen McDermott, broadcaster here in Ireland, was born in Limerick in 1983. Liam O'Flynn, the Illan Piper, was born in Kill in County Kildare in 1945. And Wesley Burrows, dramatist and screenwriter, was born in Bangor in 1930. If you were a fan in Ireland of the Reardons and things like that, you will know the name Wesley Burrows, because he was the creator and writer of that. And so we go to Thursday, the 16th, John Millington Synge, the poet and playwright, was born in Dublin in 1871. Spike Milligan, comedian, writer, actor, musician, playwright, general entertainer, born in 1918 on that day. And Ed Byrne, the comedian, was born in Swords in County Dublin in 1972. Friday is the 17th. Rosanna Davidson, the model, and she was Miss World back in 2003. She was born in Dublin in 1984. She's also Christa Berg's daughter. Mm-hmm. Brendan Kennelly, poet, born in Ballylungford in County Kerry in 1936. Michael Babs Keating, hurler and hurling manager, very much associated and affiliated to Tipperary, the hurling teams of Tipperary. He was born in Ardfinnan in County Limerick in 1944. Henry Kelly, the British TV and radio presenter, was born in Athlone in 1946. And Sean O'Farrell, the current Ciann Comhairle of the Dáil, was born in Kildare in 1960. The Ciann Comhairle would be the equivalent of the Speaker of the House in the House of Commons. Friday is the 18th, and our president, Uachtaráin na hÉireann, President Michael D. Higgins, poet, writer, politician, ninth president of Ireland. He took office in 2011. He's now in his second term. Well, he was born in Limerick in 1941. Mairead Nesbitt, the violinist, was born in Tipperary on that day in 1979. And finally, next Sunday is the 19th. Tom Dunn, the singer with Something Happens and a broadcaster, was born in Dublin in 1960. Dennis O'Brien, the entrepreneur, was born in Cork in 1958. And PJ Gallagher, the comedian and broadcaster, born in Dublin in 1975. Of course, actor as well, you could put in there, because his Derry Girls. He is the principal of the school, if you're a fan of Derry Girls, that's PJ Gallagher. All right, music. I'm not going to be able to take any of the music from the people who are celebrating birthdays this week, purely because we're going to be taking music from Mary McPartlin and from Shaskeen, and I want to leave enough time for the conversations as well. So let's play the number one song from Ireland on this very day, back in 1972, a man that we've played on a number of occasions and paid tribute to as well following his death. I'm talking about Tom McBride, otherwise known as Big Tom. Here he is with a fabulous song called Broken Marriage Vows.
I got your letter, darling, read it over and over again. You tell me that you're really sorry now. After all this time I suffered, you asked me to come back. Marriage vows that were forgotten, you are just recalling now. Marriage vows forgotten is a debt you'll have to pay. For I realize I can't ever want you now. I thought at first I couldn't live without you being around. But you're the one I'm not to blame for broken marriage vows. Forgiven you, my darling, pray that God will do the same. Was before him that we made our every vow. I must say I'll always love you, you're my joys of all the rest. And I'm glad the vows you've broken, you at last remembered now. Marriage vows forgotten is a debt you'll have to pay. For I realize I can't ever want you now. I thought at first I couldn't live without you being around. But you're the one I'm not to blame for broken marriage vows.
The late Tom McBride, Big Tom. He was at number one in Ireland on this very day back in 1972 with that song called Broken Marriage Vows. Right, got to take a quick break. Come back to me just after that, and I will be talking to my good friend, PJ Curtis, about his good friend, Mary McPartlin, who passed away last Monday.
Live on air, presented by Ger Sweeney. Live on air, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Now, a man that you have heard me talk about on a number of occasions, because I have played music that he has been associated with by way of production or mixing or getting involved in some way along the line, is a man by the name of PJ Curtis. And PJ is on the line right now from Nurka. PJ, nice to talk to you and welcome to Live on Air at last.
Hello, Ger. Good to talk to you.
You know that, when I say a record producer and involved in music in various ways, I forgot to say that you're a celebrated broadcaster as well. And that's how you and I would have got to know each other many years ago. You're keeping well, PJ, I hope.
I'm keeping as well as can be expected under the conditions out here, as we all are.
Yeah.
The only difference is that I'm in total lockdown here in Nerca, a town that you know in southern Spain. And I am looking out at a blue sky, so it's very frustrating to know that, like, we can't get out, because when they mean lockdown over here, they mean lockdown. All the roads, even in and out of the town, are blocked at the moment.
Well, hopefully it won't be long again before we are sitting together and chatting either in Kilnaboyan, County Clare, or Nerca in Spain, whichever the one comes first. Anyway, PJ, it is good to welcome you to the programme. We're here to pay tribute to somebody, but before we do that, the last 6 weeks since the door was closed and we weren't allowed out, we have seen a lot of people involved in the music world pass away. And I suppose when we're locked down and we're not allowed to go to funerals, or we're not allowed to go and, you know, wish their family well and be there and support them, it's probably the most difficult of all, isn't it?
It is, because you feel that you want to honour them, honour their lives, and touch a part of their lives with their loved ones. And when you can't do that, there's something missing. And of course, the Irish, you know, we're well known for our great wakes, and we see people off properly. And to have somebody that you've known very well to go like that and then not be able to do anything, you feel so useless and so disconnected. It's frustrating and painful.
It is. Some of the people that listeners would recognise maybe from, you know, down through the years that have passed away would include the great Ben Lennon, fabulous fiddle player. He passed away about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and his son would have been very much aligned with the great Stockton's Wing, with whom you would have worked with for many years.
That's right. Morris's father, and a great man. Ben was such a gentleman and a great musician and so revered in the traditional music world. And then he was the first that passed. Then there was Pat Broderick, the piper. Yeah. I think you're going to be talking about him later on in the programme.
Yeah, from Shaskeen.
And then Pat Costello, that you gave a lovely tribute to last week. A great man, such a talented, gifted man. And now Mary McPartland, that we're going to be talking about.
Before we do that, another man that passed away in the past week, we got the news about 10 days ago, or 10 days before, that he was unwell and was suffering from the effects of COVID-19. He's not Irish, but had a home in Kinvara in County Galway, that he spent a lot of time there. The world-renowned John Prine, and you and John would have been great pals.
Well, we go back a long way, because when I first went to Nashville, and I was sharing a house with Philip Donnelly, who was actually working with John at the time. And John was kind of in between labels, you know, in between recording labels. And he was considering starting his own, which he did do, and it's become a very successful label in the meantime. So I was producing Maura O'Connell's album, and we did one of John's songs. So we spent a lot of time together, and lots of partying, I can tell you that.
Really?
And he was such a great guy. And to be in the company of Philip Donnelly, who also died last year, and John Prine together, I can tell you that, you know, I wish I'd recorded it or filmed it, because they were two characters, let's put it like that, characters.
Right.
And great, great men. So another great talent gone. And, you know, I put John Prine up there with Dylan and Bruce Springsteen as a singer-songwriter. And he was the instigator, really, the architect of Americana music. You know, they call him a country music singer, but he wasn't a country music singer per se. He was a folk music Americana singer.
Right.
Such integrity, such truth, and such talent. An amazing man. And he's been sadly missed as well.
I know that you've written a number of novels in your time, but a book from PJ Curtis on all of the greatness that he has touched in the music industry would be a bestseller without a shadow of a doubt.
Well, it comes from living too long, Ger, I think. You've been around a long time.
No such thing.
I've done nothing else but music in my life. So, not much other things, but music was the dominant one. So you do get to meet a lot of great people. And, you know, it's been such an honour.
to
work with them, and indeed, you know, the woman we're going to talk about, Mary.
I read a couple of tributes to Mary McPartlin when her death was announced last Monday, in fact, the 6th of April. Ireland's best kept secret is how one person described her. She was nearly 50 back in 2004 when the album that you produced for her, her debut album, The Holland Handkerchief, was put together. Will you talk to me about how you got to know Mary McPartlin and how that came about?
Well, I had heard about Mary, that she was such a son of a dynamo in Galway, working in the arts. And I first met her when she was working for the Simon community. You know, one day you'd hear her doing one thing in theatre. Another day you'd hear her that she was a singer. I know she was in a little duo called Calypso in the 70s. But I met her when she asked me if I produced a six-track album that she could raise funds for Simon. And everybody contributed their time and their talents for nothing. And we went into the studio in Dublin and she came up. And actually, the day that she came up when the album was finished, she brought with her a man that I hadn't met before, and I knew him to be a Clare man, and I think he was a councillor at the time, and that was Michael D. Higgins, who went on, of course, to be our president.
Right.
So I remember meeting them on the same day, practically. From first meeting, you just knew that Mary was special. She just exuded this amazing energy and amazing love, and you just got drawn into her, and I could see why so many people loved her and were so touched by her and everything she did in theatre, in music, as an organiser. You know, she was a creator. She was a visionary. I could go on listing things that she was. And it's only in the reading of the obits on her in the last while that I've become really aware as to just how many things she was involved in. An extraordinary woman. So then we went on from there when it came to the point when she was to make, when she thought about making an album. She asked me if I'd produce it, and I did. We worked in Kenny Ralph's studio in Tuam.
Right.
And we gathered about us a fantastic array of musicians. Shamie O'Dowd, who was just such an extraordinary, multi-talented guitar player, fiddle player, singer, and Martin O'Connor and the likes. And I think, I'm very proud of that album. I think we did a great album. I couldn't believe it. Like, that was back in 2004. I just couldn't believe it was that far back.
Fascinating. And was she unwell around that time? Did I read something that she wasn't able to go on the road at the time and push that album as hard as she wanted to push it because of ill health? Was I right?
I wasn't aware of it.
All right, okay.
She certainly didn't display any symptoms when we were in the studio. I always thought that she was just so wrapped up with so many other things, like theatre. Like, for instance, soon after that, she got involved with Sean Turrell's adaptation of Brian Merriman's poem, The Midnight Court.
Right.
And she toured that for years. And in fact, the woman that is my next door neighbour here, Bernie O'Mahony, was on that show as well. So Mary's death affected both of us quite a lot. So I wasn't aware, Jerry, that she was ill. But some years later, then it became known that she was occasionally unwell.
Okay.
I think it developed from there.
You mentioned the county councillor in Galway with whom she came into contact, Michael D. Higgins, now Uachtaráin na hÉireann. And he and his wife, Sabina, led the tributes. And it was interesting to hear, normally when somebody would pass away, such as Mary, you would hear that the president had paid tribute to them. It was always President Higgins and his wife, Sabina, because Sabina was very involved in the arts world in Galway as well. So she and Mary would probably have been very close.
Yes, no doubt. No doubt she was. And of course, I was also touched that Michael D paid tribute to John Prine.
Yes.
Because John Prine wouldn't be a household name in Ireland, but to the musical fraternity he would. But yes, Mary would have been so involved. You know, I mean, she was the instigator of Flosk. She was the instigator of the Gratham Cole Award for T.G. Carr.
That's right.
She was the founder of a theatre company. She was a performer. I mean, she touched so many levels in the arts that it was impossible to keep tabs on her. But she did tour and she did go on and she did do stage things, but not in the way that she should have, because she did produce two more albums, I think, after the one I did with her, Petticoat Loose in 2008 and Mountain to Mountain in 2016.
Right.
And I think she was actually planning another album this year, which, you know, sadly now is not going to happen. But So she never stopped working, never stopped creating right up to the end.
And was she a frenetic person or was she laid back? Because when you think that she was involved so heavily in so many different aspects of the arts, she also had a public relations company at one point. She was involved in TG Carr, the Irish language television station. She was involved in the opening of Glor, the Irish Music Centre in Ennis many years ago as well. Did she come across as a person that had a lot on her plate, or did she just kind of glide through these things?
This is the incredible thing about it. I'm glad you said that, Ger, because, you know, when you describe a person like that involved in so many things, there would be a little bit of a touch of the dictator about them.
Right.
You know, but not Mary. She, as you said, she glided through all this.
Okay.
She just took everything in her stride. There was no pressure. Doing the album was, we just laughed so much. I mean, there was one song, not the Holland Handkerchief, but I can't remember which it was, that she had to go to another studio because of things she was doing, and we recorded her vocal in a cupboard in somebody else's studio, and then we fed it into our studio in Open Tomb. And the laughing, I mean, we spent more time laughing.
Right.
The fact that Mary was in a wardrobe, you know, miles and miles away, and there we were trying to record her, but we did. And so everybody was at ease. She put everybody at her ease, at their ease, in her presence. And so there was never pressure, never pressure. I never felt it once from her.
And as a record producer, was she easy to produce? Did she know what she wanted? Or did you guide her in a particular way? Or how did that dynamic work?
One thing that you have to have when you're producing a record is trust with the artist, that the artist trusts you, that if you ask for another take, that you're not asking them to exercise any control. You're asking to get something from them that they're not giving at the moment. And she did. She just gave and gave, because she knew too, you know, innately, she knew when she was to go the extra mile, to go the extra yard even. And so, yes, there was, she took, I won't say instructions, but she took
direction.
All that in her stride.
Okay.
All that in her stride.
What do you think will be, maybe it's an unfair question, but what do you think would be her biggest legacy?
I suppose the main thing is that when you record albums, that's the legacy you leave. It's there forever. I think you're going to play a track at the end of this century. That, you know, they, you live on through your through the art. But because she was so engaged in so many other projects, that if they live on, well, then her spirit lives on through everything that she would have engaged in and created. And so that's a life extremely well lived. Like Pat Costello, Pat touched so many things in his life, this, you said it last week, that they live on through that. So she won't be forgotten.
Do you think artists are conscious at any stage of putting an album together, or maybe even when the album is released, are they conscious at all that this will be here long after I am?
Well, some are,
yeah.
But I don't think that would be principle in their drive when they're doing the thing. I think for somebody like a traditional singer, they're more conscious of what the song is saying. It's the song that's surviving, the story that's told through the song, the spirits that come down through the song. Because through traditional songs in particular, it's the voices of the ancients, those that are gone, that speak through the music. And I think any true singer to the tradition would be aware of that, and Mary certainly was. Just like Dolores Cain would have been, you know. You're honouring the song, and maybe afterwards, like when you do the album, you think, oh, well, that's there now, and it'll survive, you know, onwards. But I don't think it would be prime in most artists. I'm not aware of it anyway, but it would be prime motivation.
Okay. All right, PJ Curtis, it's been absolutely fantastic having you on the programme to talk about your late friend, Mary McPartlin.
Thank you, Jerry. It's a pleasure, although it's sad to come on and have to talk about this, about good friends that have passed on.
I was looking, PJ, thank you. I was looking for the title track of her first album, which you produced, The Holland Handkerchief. And I don't have a copy of the album itself. But I went searching online and I found a number of different, well, two different versions of the song. There seems to be a kind of a speeded up version on YouTube, as well as the nice version of it. How did that happen?
I have no idea. And I put it in a comment up there to ask that be taken down. Because I was, when I went on after I'd heard of her passing, I went on just to hear the song, because I don't have the album myself out here. And I'm listening to the first song that came up on the list on YouTube, I was horrified to hear that the song was double speed and badly pitched. So I asked it to be taken down. So if you go onto YouTube, if you're a listener that wants to hear the song on YouTube, you know, just scroll down and one that's up there at the correct speed and etc.
Okay, and the version that we're going to play right now is the correct version. But before I let you go, I'm reminded of our friend Pat Costello. We talked about it last week. It took him a long time to do anything after he'd introduced it, and that's the way I'm sounding at the minute because I said goodbye. Before I let you go, when you did listen back to that track after you heard of Mary's passing, can I ask you what your thoughts were?
It becomes more poignant, really, particularly if you don't listen to a song that you've worked on for a long time. First of all, the memories come back of the actual recording sessions. But then you look at it with different, or you listen with different ears, and you just listen to it as a piece of work. And you know what? I think it's a very powerful song. It's an old traditional song, but we have given it we gave it a fairly contemporary arrangement. And we were so proud afterwards that the album, actually, I forgot to mention that the album, when it came out, the year that came out in 2004, I think, it won the Album of the Year for the Mojo magazine, which is a pretty significant publication in England. We were very proud of that at the time.
Lovely.
Of course. Yeah.
And rightly so. All right, PJ Curtis, I will let you go this time, and we will take a listen to the Holland Handkerchief, sung by the lovely Mary McPartlin.
Many young men for to see her came, but none of them could her fancy gain. Till there came a one of low degree, and above them all she loved but he. When her father he came to know that his daughter loved this young man so, over 50 miles he sent her away, all for to deprive her of her wedding day. One night as she lay in her bedroom, her love he appeared from out of the gloom. He touched her hand and to her did say, "Arise, my darling, and come away." With this young man she got on behind, and they rode swifter than any wind. They rode on for an hour or more, till he cried, "My darling, my head feels sore." A Holland handkerchief she then took out, and with it she wrapped his aching head about. She kissed his lips and to him did say, "My love, you're colder." Father's gate, he said, "Get down, love, hour is late. Get down, and go to bed. And I'll see that this horse is groomed and fed. When she knocked at her father's hall, who's there, who's there? Our father called. 'Tis I, dear father, didn't you send for me? By such a messenger, naming he. Oh no, dear daughter, that ne'er can be. For your words are false, and you lie to me. From yon far mountain, your true love died. And in yon green meadow, his body lies. The truth then dawned on this maiden brave, and with her friends she exposed the grave where lay her true love, though 9 months dead, with a Holland handkerchief wrapped around his head. Parents, as I say still, who deprive young lovers of their own free will. For once the promises and vows they give, they can ne'er recall them whilst they live.
It's a beautiful song, isn't it? And sung so beautifully, and produced by PJ Curtis. Thank you to PJ for talking to us about that lady, Mary McPartlin, and that song called The Holland Handkerchief. I must get the entire album and listen to it. I'm looking forward to doing that. And again, thanks to PJ for talking to us. Right, let's do a very quick commercial break. Come back to me just after that for the final part of the programme. I will be talking to David Sanders and to Tom Cusson, both of the group Shaskeen.
Live on air, presented by Ger Sweeney. Live on air, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Our good friend Pat Costello, and when I was paying tribute to Pat last week on the programme, I mentioned that just one of the things he was involved with was a great group called Shaskeen. Shaskeen is now based in Ireland, obviously, but it's started off in London back in 1970, and this year the band celebrates its 50th year. However, the loss of two of their very prominent members, Pat Costello and Pat Broderick, within the space of 4 days of each other over the last 2 weeks, has certainly put a damper on the celebrations. I am going to play an interview that I did on Friday evening on Zoom with David Sanders, who is the new blood in the band, and the man that started it all, Tom Cusson, about the band itself, about the origins of it, about the music, about the 50 years, about the CD, and also about the loss of their two members, Pat Costello and Pat Broderick. So, to the interview we go. Gentlemen, you are both very welcome, and thank you for taking time to talk with us today on the programme. Let's start with Tom, because Tom, you were around in day one. In fact, it was you put Shaskeen together, wasn't it, back in 1970?
Well, when you said I'm around since day one, I thought you were going to say since Noah's flood or something like that.
rumour has it you played the banjo while he built the ark.
when I put a name in the band, I had absolutely no idea that 50 years later I'd be talking to you and saying we're still here in some form or other, you know.
Mm.
You don't plan that far ahead, to be honest about it. It just happened by chance in London. I was living and working in London in the late 60s, early 70s. I suppose I was lucky enough to learn a huge amount of whatever bit of music I have. And I owed to that time in London, which was great. I had been playing in a pub in Kentish Town Road called the Oxford Tavern on a Sunday morning.
Mm.
myself and Maureen Minogue and Sean McDonough, flute player and a fiddle player, and myself, just playing jigs and reels and hornpipes on a Sunday morning. It kind of grew from 3 or 4 in the pub to a lot of paddies and biddies coming in after Mass on Sunday. The place used to be kind of full. The owner at the time came to me and said, look, he said, would you be able to put a band together for a Friday night? I give you a Friday night, put a band together, put you up on the big stage and go for it. And I said, sure, fine. And I had been playing, you know, in London, you're playing with different people, different selections of musicians, depending on who got the gig or whatever. And I was playing with Johnny Minogue, a box player, Binny O'Connor, a drummer who I'd met at a London flyer. And we just got together and the thing clicked, and we had the name Shaskeen on it, for what has worked.
And where did the name Shaskeen come from?
Well, originally, for me, it came from a name of a reel that was made popular, I suppose, by Michael Coleman playing the Shaskeen reel. And there's a Shaskeen bog about 8 or 9 kilometres outside Charlestown towards the Sligo border. And basically what it is, it's marshy ground, high ground. And we were brought there 10 years ago when we were doing the 40 years of Shaskeen, and I picked up a few sods of turf from the bog, and I still have them.
Oh, wow, fantastic.
You know, I have to tell you a very interesting piece on that, seeing that we are there. We actually seen the Darky Flynn's house. Do you know the Isle of Wight, the McAlpine's Fusiliers?
Yes.
The Darky Flynn. His house was there. Bit of history, like.
Yeah.
That was the start of it, and we played every Friday night for 12 months. And then the call of home got a little bit strong, and I came back the end of 71, and Binny O'Connor came back, and we met by chance again in Air Square.
Wow.
And I'd been playing around Galway with a few other lads at the time, John Dooley and Sean Divney, and we decided we'd give it a go.
Fantastic.
I'd been playing with PJ Hernan as well, the box player. So we started out then with 72, just after getting married.
And, right. And
it went from strength to strength, really. There was only 4 of us in the beginning. PJ Hernan on the box, Binny on the drums, Johnny Dooley in guitar and vocals, and myself in the banjo. And we did every cockfight at every crossroads that could be seen.
Brilliant.
Or whatever.
Brilliant. Where did your love of music, and particularly the banjo, because you not only do you play the banjo, but you make banjos. You're well known for it, aren't you?
Well, I hope so. Within reason.
You have a good reputation. Not only are you well known, but a good reputation to go with it. Where did that come from?
The reputation?
No, I know where the reputation came from. Where did the love of the banjo and where did the craft?
I suppose the way I look at it myself, when we started out with the Shaskeen in 72, 73, 74, 5 here, and we made the first album in 74, we were new kids on the block at the time. We had a bit of a different sound. That's all I can think of.
Okay.
And the banjo was reasonably prominent in that sound, with drums and box and guitar. The banjo was beginning to get popular in the late 60s and 70s with the folk boom. It was just coming into Ireland about the mid-late 70s. Before that, you had Sweeney's Men and you'd groups like that and fantastic groups in their own right. People used to come up to me and say, Tom, I like your banjo, blah, blah, blah. I have an old banjo at home. My uncle or my grandfather brought it back from the States. And do you know anybody that'll fix it up? I'm sure, being a bit of a tinker myself, I said, I'll fix it, you know.
Aye.
And because I come from a kind of a, I suppose,
he's a Limerick man like yourself.
A background, I suppose, in all fairness, my father was a blacksmith, so
right.
you kind of grow up with little things that you have to do for yourself, you know, that type of thing.
Absolutely. And we'll talk about the sad part of things just very briefly, because I want to move on and talk to David, and I want to talk about the album and plans for the future. And that's what I mean, is that I have been talking to David, and I know he's mentioned to you a few times that I wanted to sit down and do a kind of an extended interview with you and hopefully we'll do that. And if anything over the last couple of weeks has shown us, it's shown us that, you know, something, let's do it now and let's do it as quickly as we possibly can. So when these restrictions are over, I would very much relish an opportunity to dig more and dig deeper into the history of Shaskeen, because 50 years to be on the road is a phenomenal history.
I'm beginning to realize that myself.
Yeah.
In the beginning, I didn't. I just took it as kind of as a, I would consider myself a kind of a, there was a man here in Galway used to refer to himself as a paraphernal type of player, you know.
Right.
I wouldn't be here today only for the guys and girls that I had the pleasure to be involved with.
Sure.
Context of music.
Sure.
It's as simple as that.
Sure. Talking about that and starting out 50 years ago, I know that the last 2 weeks, 2.5, 3 weeks, has been particularly difficult because you've lost two men that have been with Shaskeen for a very long time. Pat Broderick passed away first at the end of March, and then our good friend Pat Costello passed away on the 1st of April. And yes. I know that there have been other losses associated with members of the band as well. You've had a very tough time. I presume you'd like to say a few words about Pat Broderick and about Pat Costello.
I first met Pat Costello around 1984-85 at a house party or a session or something. And Pat Broderick, I would have known around the same time, but maybe a little bit later. Like Dave has come into my life in the last few years. These people came into my life and became part of my life, effectively. Like they were like brothers in a way.
Yeah.
And I suppose being close enough, shall I say, the same age as well. You know, there was an old gel there that kept us together. It is bad enough to lose one, but to lose two within 4 or 5 days of each other is colossal. Like, you know, I don't think we will realize it until we meet again.
Yeah.
As you know, because of the circumstances we're dealing with at the moment, we couldn't, shall I say, bury the dead with style, if I can use that expression.
Yeah.
As musicians generally do, and as people generally do, to be fair about it. You know, while there's a great loss, there's also, I think, a curing feeling.
There is.
Going to the funeral, talking about it, and things like that.
So and the session that you'd have after each of those funerals.
Well, whatever.
And celebrate the life and the times of those men.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, and I mean, there's a few people asking about getting together to celebrate their lives. We call them the two pats. Mm. And certainly we will when the opportunity arises to be discussed, I suppose, with the families as well. And I'm certainly hoping it will happen.
I want to go to the young blood in the band, if I may. And when Shaskeen was put together back in 1970, David Sanders, you weren't even born.
No.
And here you are. I know you personally, and I have some idea of how you got involved in the music and how you've come up along the way. But for listeners, tell us about it. Tell us your journey.
I was about 9 years of age. I was brought to the local Chalk Hill for a music class with Gus Tierney with a tin whistle in my hand and a copybook, a music scripting copybook brought down in Mrs. White's to learn the tin whistle.
Right.
And halfway through the first class, I stood up and said, "Mr. Tierney, I want to play the fiddle."
Right.
And Mr. Tierney said, "What's your name?" And I told him my name was David Sanders. "Is Mrs. Sanders here?" "Yes, I'll see you after class." And that's how it moseyed on from there.
Okay.
Just got stuck into the fiddle and that was it.
Okay.
Brought up as a young fella in the village of Corrifin, when you had Carhartt, was absolutely in its heyday. You had the likes of Tornal and Ann, Noel Hill, Tommy, of course, Matt Malloy. Yeah, Tommy Peoples, Matt Malloy, all those boys were coming to Carhartt for tunes on a Sunday afternoon.
Wow.
And my dad would bring me in to listen to them.
Right. How did you eventually end up playing with Shaskeen, a band that was put together in London in 1970?
Very good friends with Pat Costello with the last 23, 24 years.
Right.
And Tom was obviously very good friends with Pat. And I'm also part of another group that meets from time to time called the Wingers, and Pat was part of that. And
yeah.
Okay. And Tom discussed the idea that we needed to do a joint project.
Right.
And then we get Pat to put it together, and he came up with the songs Our Fathers Loved.
Yes, which was a fabulous live performance.
Yeah. And that was performed, three, four different times in various different venues. A big outfit, you know, you're talking 20 people on stage. Mm. There are about 20, 25 people in the crew from start to finish. Pat Broderick opened all the shows on the pipes. sometimes on the war pipes, sometimes on the yellow pipes, depending on the farm.
Right.
Yeah. Mr. Costello did all the research and putting it all together.
Yeah.
And one thing led to another, and next thing Tom says, "Will you play in the band?" So I said, "Yeah, sure, why not? Are you sure I'm old enough?"
Right. But obviously you were, so that was all right. Tom, how important is it to continually bring new blood in? And what importance is that for the band to allow, let's say, the likes of David to be able to say, "Lads, can we try something this way or try something that way?" Have the confidence, number one, to stand up and be able to say that to an established band and its members, but also from your perspective, to listen to it.
Well, to answer your first question first, how important is it to have change and to have different people? No question about it. It is the lifeline of anything that you're doing, to like new employees and new people coming in to do a job or whatever. We've been lucky enough down through the years, there's been gradual changes. There hasn't been massive changes. There's been one or two come in over a period of time. For me, getting in, Dave, my energy levels have gone through the roof since he came into the band. I can't keep up with him, Mike. If the energy is there, it's great. And then you get somebody like Dave prodding you and kind of keeping you going. I have to say, it's good.
There's another thing there, that when you step into the Shaskeen, which is something I've only experienced recently, you're stepping in amongst a group of musicians who are extremely individually well accomplished.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're all sitting there not wanting to let the fellow that's sitting next to them down.
Okay.
And when you get there, you realize, okay, I'm obviously good enough to be with this bunch, and I better not let them down either.
Mm.
And you get people listening to each other. You have other bigger bands around, some in Clare and elsewhere, and they're very much the note is written and you must follow the script that's okay. written and you won't wobble. When you sit into the Shaskeen, you realise that the programme is only a target.
It's a guideline.
It's a guideline. And there are songs on that CD that were not played by the band before they were recorded live.
Really?
Okay, well, they shall remain nameless. And
one in particular.
Yeah, and they worked because the band knows how to sit back. Each individual member knows how to sit back and step in and take their place among the other well-accomplished musicians.
Okay.
No one person is carrying the whole show.
No, that's true.
Talking about the album, this was meant to be a celebration of 50 years of the band. And Tom, does it tell the Shaskeen story musically?
Well, I would hope that it does. Now, it's probably expanded a bit more in terms of singing than it has in the past.
Okay, I know.
The challenge to find another band or another CD where there are five different singers.
I was just going to say that. I've never heard you sing. I've never known you to sing, but I was listening to the CD and I was doing a bit of work at the same time. It rolled onto a song and I went, "That's Sanders singing." And I had to get up the CD and have a look. There it was. There was David Sanders singing a song.
And on the bar on as well.
Well, that's it. And to hear Pat Costello singing was just fantastic. To hear Sean Conway singing was amazing. And then you have a guest, Katie Teasby, who I've interviewed in the past. Yeah. And Katie's voice brings something really special to the whole thing with the big band of talented musicians behind her.
And it was great. It really was. And I can thank Dave for that.
And we didn't mention Johnny Donlan, but Johnny was the fifth singer that was in it. Sure. David, talk to me about the recording itself. Was this recorded on one particular event?
It was recorded over two events.
Okay.
But the majority of the recording was taken from Corofin.
And that was in January of 2020.
Yeah.
And that was the last time that the band played together publicly. Am I right?
That all of us played together publicly.
Yes. Yeah. Isn't it lovely that's captured now forever and it's in a special CD for the 50th anniversary?
It becomes more special, actually. Yeah. I think so. It really does, to be honest about it. Hopefully people will like it, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure. Well, I would have no doubt that they do. The album goes on sale from the 17th of April, but you can arrange to have your own copy kept as of now through your website, am I correct?
More or less, yeah. The shaskeen.net website has been upgraded slightly at the moment, so But if they email me, we'll keep copies for them. You will be able to order it online. Certainly, as of the 17th, it will be available online on the Shaskin and maybe one other site, we'll see. But because of the present situation with the virus, we can't say it's available in the shops because the shops are closed.
That's right. Okay, shaskin.net. And Tom, do you want to give me your email address if somebody would like to get in touch with you?
Yeah, it is easy enough now. tom@tomcussen.com.
And Cussen is spelled C-U-S-S-E-N.
Correct, yes.
Fantastic.
We had about 20 concerts lined up for this year between one thing and another. I mean, there's half of those gone already, like, you know, and I can't see a whole lot happening before October. And that's my gut feeling at the moment based on the goings on. Because even if it finished next week or 2 weeks' time or 3 weeks' time, I think people will still be very conscious about going out into groups of people.
David. This album here, you can buy it for Christmas.
It's in my hand. It's in my hand. And I was just going to say, when you said October, I was just going to say, well, wouldn't it be grand for Christmas to get a present of that?
There's a nice variation of stuff in it now, to be fair about it. I think there's a bit for everybody.
There is.
You know.
All right. Gentlemen, I'm going to leave both of you go. The name of the album is Live in Concert, Shaskin, Live and Kicking. It's available from the 17th of April. You can pre-order it now if you'd like at shaskin.net. David Sanders, the new blood, and Tom Cussen, the man that started the whole thing.
The old blood.
From Shaskin. I wasn't going to say that. From Shaskin. Thank you both for joining me. And can I say, look forward to chatting to you again. And once again, condolences to both of you and your band members and your families, because I know that there's a special bond there, and it has been ripped apart. So thanks for talking to us today.
Thank you very much, Ger.
Cheers.
absolutely wonderful music. The energy that comes off of that is just fascinating. I didn't take the easy way out, but it was impossible to choose a particular track to play. So I just played the first track on the first CD of the double CD, Shaskeen Live and Kicking. And there you had a number of reels, starting off with the Shaskeen reel, Lady Anne Montgomery and Maud Miller, the wonderful Shaskeen. Thanks again to David Sanders and to Tom Cusson for talking to me about all that we talked about. Now, that was only an excerpt or a little piece of the interview that I did with the boys on Friday evening. If you would like to hear the entire thing, which is about 26 and a half minutes long, you can go to emeraldconnection.net. It is there on a blog page. That is my lot for today. Thank you very much for joining me on the programme. Thank you to PJ Curtis for his wonderful stories and memories about Mary McPartlin. Thanks again to David and to Tom for their stories about Shaskeen. Thanks, as always, to our Spanish-Irish advisor, Jose Antonio Sierra. But most of all, thank you for listening, and I sincerely hope that you have enjoyed the programme. If you would like to get in contact at any stage, you can do that by email ger@tre.radio. I am based in Ireland for the duration of the lockdown, so it's nice to be with you, and it's great that the technology allows me to be with you each Monday evening. Until next week, from me, look after yourselves and each other, stay well, and look forward to being with you again next Monday. Until then, from me, Ger Sweeney, bye-bye.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints. Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.